Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of the Let's Talk Wildlife podcast. I am your host, Courtney, and in today's episode, we will be discussing a family of non-venomous snakes, our beautiful large pythons. Now, pythons live all around the globe, from here in Australia to over in Asia and all the way in Africa. They are some of the world's largest snakes. They can reach lengths over 30 feet and weigh over 200 pounds. There are 40 different species of our pythons, and fortunate little me, I get to live around 15 of these 40 python species, from our own backyards to up in our tropical rainforests and over in our red desert. So in this episode, we will be discussing two of our native pythons here in Australia, and we're going to talk about the largest snake that has ever lived on this continent, the Bluff Downs giant python. But before we jump into the episode, I want to say thank you for all of your support. And if you have tuned into this episode as well, thank you so, so much. If you are a new listener, welcome. It is so great to have you. I am so thankful that you're here. I hope you enjoy the episode and perhaps learn a thing or two. But let's jump straight into it. This is our conversation on our pythons. So our Bluff Downs giant python actually lived around 4 million years ago, right here in the beautiful Sunshine State that is Queensland, in the northeast, in an area called Bluff Downs. Now, this particular area actually holds a ton of history and significance. There have been fossils found from our Pliocene epoch, which was roughly around 5 million to 2 million years ago. So this fossil site is one of Australia's most important fossil sites to learn more about the history of which animals roamed the earth and why they became extinct, and to also learn more about what Earth has been like in the history of the planet. So fossils found at Bluff Downs fossil site have included our megafauna, so larger species than what exists today, such as our kangaroos, our giant goannas, and of course, our giant pythons. Now, alongside this, collected fossils at the site are also very similar to our more modern animals. There were fossils from a koala-like animal found, and fascinatingly enough, flamingos. Now, if you aren't too sure about flamingos or you're unfamiliar with them, I can tell you right now, today, they do not live here in Australia. So to know that they once lived here and potentially flourished, that's pretty cool, I must admit. It is really cool to learn about and to know that flamingos were here at one point in time. So our Bluff Downs giant python would have hunted mammals, other reptiles, of course birds, and being the largest python, they could grow up to 8 to 10 meters in length. To protect themselves from potential predators, they would have been able to hide themselves in thickets or woodlands, which is where they mostly inhabited. Now, there were rib fragments and teeth and backbones found at Bluff Downs fossil site, which helps us learn the size of these animals. It's not just pulled out of thin air. There have been fossils found which indicate the size. But in being an extinct species, sometimes it is difficult for researchers to work out the lifestyle of the animal, or sometimes how they lived, or if they adapted to their environment, or why they did go extinct. Why did the species die off? So looking at a closely living relative that does exist today of our Bluff Downs giant python is the olive python. So looking at the olive python, you can kind of put two and two together and learn about the lifestyle and how the giant python may have adapted. But like all of our megafauna, they obviously don't exist today. And there are a few factors to this. One of those being major environmental factors. This could have been that the Earth at the time was warming up, the globe was getting hotter, this may have increased fires, so natural disasters, which may have also left a lack of fresh water for our animals. Of course, humans played their role in the extinction of our megafauna. So not us humans, we are Homo sapiens, but our human ancestors, which appeared around 5 million years ago, would have lived alongside some of our megafauna, and they have hunted the megafauna to extinction. We came around 300,000 years ago, but the humans that lived at that time did encounter these animals, which is, it's bizarre to think about, and it's really hard to comprehend time in general. But yes, around 5 million years ago to 2 million years ago, there were humans hunting our massive large animals. Now, a python that does exist today that, in my personal opinion, is one of the most beautiful snakes is our olive python. They have that beautiful brown to olive green appearance. Of course, they have that very smooth appearance as well compared to a lot of other snakes. And this is because they have a higher scale count. So that is why they look so incredibly smooth, but they are absolutely gorgeous. They are native to Australia. They inhabit rocky areas in our northern half. So here in Queensland, over into the Northern Territory, into Western Australia. They are Australia's second largest snake, growing up to 5 meters long, and they can potentially weigh 20 kilograms. They do fall behind our scrub python, which obviously is Australia's largest snake. Now, the olive python is nocturnal, so they hunt at night, and in the daytime, you will typically find them resting in rock crevices or under ledges, trying to stay out of the hot sun. They may also be found hunting in water, and this is because they are excellent swimmers. So they are carnivorous, meaning they eat a whole range of animals, from mammals to reptiles to, of course, birds. And whether in the water or on land, they are ambush predators, meaning that they wait motionless until their prey comes to them, and then they strike. Of course, being a non-venomous snake, the olive python doesn't inject their prey with venom. So they use that strong, powerful body to wrap around the animal and constrict it until it dies. And that is the case for all of our pythons. There actually are a few threats for our olive pythons, and cats or feral cats play a major role in their population decrease. So the feral cats will ruin and disturb their environment. They have been known to destroy habitats, and of course they eat the snakes. So it's really important, if you do own a cat, to be keeping your cat inside, especially at night, to ensure that they aren't killing our native wildlife. And I think, I'm not too sure if it is all of Australia or just certain states here, but it is actually illegal to let your cat outside. This is to protect our native wildlife. Now, of course, humans also play their role, their part in killing snakes, but it is illegal in every single state and every single territory here in Australia to harm or kill our snakes. There are hefty fines. You cannot take a snake also out of their environment, a wild snake, and keep it as a pet. Just to have a snake in general in Australia is really difficult. You need a bunch of licenses, but you cannot be killing our snakes unless your life is in danger. But 99% of the time when you do encounter any snake, venomous or non-venomous, they tend to leave you alone. I would say if you are being harassed or bitten by an animal or a snake, you are more than likely either harassing it and stirring it up, or you've accidentally stepped on the animal. I have had a ton of encounters with our snakes, from our carpets to to beautiful red-bellied blacks, which are absolutely stunning, and brown snakes as well. Actually, just a few weeks ago, my boyfriend and I were working on his car, and a tow truck driver has come down the street and he starts yelling at us. And I'm like, oh no, what have we done? But he was just letting us know that there was a snake roughly 5 meters from us. It was a brown snake, and the tow truck guy left, and I got a torch and I put it on the snake. And I can tell you right now that the snake got scared and he slithered in the opposite direction. He was just out trying to move, trying to find some dinner. He wasn't looking for a fight, and neither was I. So we just both went on our ways and did our own thing. And again, that will happen the majority of the time with any animal. They really are afraid of you as well. So it's important to be respectful and to keep your distance when encountering any animal. Now, another snake, which I absolutely adore, and this snake, reptiles, especially crocodiles, all of these animals had a major role in why I created this podcast. I first encountered the black-headed python. It was my first snake I got to touch, got to hold, and I just instantly fell in love, and I wanted to protect these animals and spread awareness of how interesting they are and how kind animals actually are. And it's humans that most of the time are a kind of stirring them up and making them feel threatened, and that's why they react in the way that they do. So thanks to the black-headed python, we have the podcast. But black-headed pythons are so beautiful, and they have that very distinct black head, large bodies, and of course those brown and black bands that run down their body. They can grow up to 3 meters in length. They can weigh from 3 to 7 kilograms. And again, they inhabit our northern part of Australia. They are native as well. They live in Western Australia, the Northern Territory, and of course here in Queensland, from rocky areas and deserts. Now, they are carnivores as well. So they prey upon mammals and birds and other reptiles. And again, they are non-venomous, so they will constrict their prey. I have been fortunate enough to encounter our black-headed pythons, and if you are roaming around where they may inhabit, in the early morning sun, you may find their little black heads poking out of rock crevices or holes, and this is so they can absorb that heat from the sun to start to warm up their body. So just like all other snakes and all other reptiles, they are cold-blooded. So they cannot regulate their own body temperature like us mammals can. So humans, we don't need to rely on an external heat source like our snakes do. This is why you typically find snakes when it's sunny outside, laying in the sun, laying on roads, lizards, maybe sunbathing on rocks, and of course our crocodiles. If you are exploring areas where crocodiles live, or you're visiting Australia, I would recommend coming in our cooler months. This is because, like our snakes, crocodiles need the sun to regulate their body temperature and keep them warm. So they will be laying up on banks, and once they do start to get a little bit too warm, you tend to see them with their mouth open. I think a lot of people mistaken this for, oh, they're going to attack. But this is because they're trying to release extra heat to cool themselves down. If this doesn't work, they will just slip straight back into the water, and it's just a cycle. In the water, when they get a bit too cold, they will come back out for that sun to warm themselves up. So I would highly recommend visiting places up in northern Queensland or Australia, Western Australia, and Northern Territory in our winter months, because in summer they are typically found in the water because it's just too hot. So they are a little bit more difficult to spot. Back to our snakes though. Our black-headed python is preyed upon by birds, and mostly our wedge-tailed eagles. This is why they find safety in those rock holes and rock crevices. And of course, again, humans kill our snakes. And I have heard some silly stories of people, they will mistake our black-headed pythons for a venomous snake. So they think that they can kill it. Go figure. I just don't understand that thought process. But again, as we mentioned, it is illegal to be killing our snakes in every state and territory here in Australia. Our snakes are incredibly important for the health of our ecosystem. They keep rodent and spider populations in check, so they keep that at a healthy balance. They are also maintaining a healthy balance in the environments they live in, and they are massive contributors to the food chain because they are prey for a lot of different animals, from other reptiles to birds to fish. So they contribute to that healthy level and a healthy balance of our food chain. Now, to talk a little bit about first aid is going to differ massively from our venomous snakes to our non-venomous. But if you are bitten by a snake, it is the safest option to treat it as a venomous snake bite. Because a great tip is you cannot identify a snake from their color alone. We have common tree snakes that are blue, and our green tree python, which lives up in our northern part of Australia in our rainforest, their juveniles are a bright yellow. So if you are exploring up North Queensland where there's green tree pythons, but you spot a bright yellow snake, if you're not educated on snakes or you're unsure of the animals which inhabit the area, you're more than likely not going to think that the yellow snake is a green tree python. So identifying a snake by their color alone is out of the equation. So again, if you do get bit, treat it as a venomous snake. But with our pythons, as they are non-venomous, they will leave a nice little nasty laceration. You will have some swelling, of course some pain, but you may want to wash the site with some warm water and soap. You may also wrap it to protect it from any infections from outside germs. But if you are bitten by a venomous snake, call 000 straight away or your emergency number in your country and stay as still as possible. The venom, it runs through your lymphatic system, so staying still and keeping the limb as still as possible is the most important thing to do. We have touched on this in our previous snake episode a few episodes ago, so if you wanted to learn a little bit more about that, you could check out that old episode. If not, of course, doing your own research. Also, researching first aid kits is a really good idea as well. If you find yourself exploring areas where snakes live, you can buy first aid kits pre-made for snakes from, I know you can get some from Bunnings here in Australia, which is just like a hardware store if you're unfamiliar, but you can buy first aid kits. Of course, you can make your own up to cater for where you live and the animals that you might encounter. If you are bitten by a venomous snake, I would give you the tip of not washing the bite before getting to the hospital. This may help the doctors determine what snake it was from any venom left over so you can get your anti-venom. But thank you so much if you have made it all the way to the end of this episode. Snakes are definitely in my top, I'd say three, animals that I absolutely adore. And I think that's because I get to encounter them so often here. I feel very lucky and fortunate for that. But thank you so much. If you have a particular animal or species that you would love to hear about, leave a comment, let me know. My messages are always open to discuss our wildlife or any answers that you may need or want from an episode. But thank you so much. I will be seeing you this time next week. Bye for now.